Now, I ask your attention to the Book of Psalms, and Psalm, the fourth Psalm, and verse 6. From the Book of Psalms, the fourth Psalm, and verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. We said this morning that indeed, as that hymn has reminded us, that there are many that seek good, but it is the good of this world. And their lives bear the witness, and their walk and conversation bear the witness, that it is only of these good things of this world that there is a seeking for. Dying things, things that will be of no benefit on a bed, a dying bed. But there's many that say, who will show us any good? It might be rightly, I believe, said that it is descriptive of, in the opposite, that the Church of Christ is but a remnant, and the many, which comprises of all of lost mankind, that shall be taken to where hope and mercy can never come, will be in this word, seeking only the good of this world. It's a great mercy, my friends, if you have been taught the value of your soul. And only a spiritual teacher will teach you that. Only the blessed Holy Ghost will ever instruct a poor sinner to look to those things and seek for those things which shall be for the comfort of their soul, and those good things we began to speak about this morning. And should you and I be in possession of the good things that are spiritual, that are eternal, then our eternal safety is indeed confirmed. We spoke about, well, only one or two things really. Those dear people, the people of God, who are blessed with this desire, seek for best blessings. Nothing short, my friends, will satisfy. We cannot compromise with eternal things. There cannot ever be said that there is certain things we don't need to know to go to glory. My friends, the work of grace is God's work, and he'll teach you the need of it and show you the mercy of it and bless his people with the possession of it. And there's nothing that is not necessary for eternity that they shall not be blessed with. We spoke of Christ, the person of Christ. If you see anything in Christ, my friends, which your natural heart doesn't see, then you're on the way to heaven. There is no doubt about that. If you see a beauty, a blessedness, a suitability, my friends, and a need of him, then you're one of those favoured characters to whom will be with Christ, which is far better. You remember when he came here on earth, his own received him not the, his own as far as the Church of Christ was concerned, the Jews. They saw nothing in him. But don't pick up stones to throw at the Jews. Read the 53rd of Isaiah, and read what the dear prophet of old was enabled to write about those who were destitute of grace. They saw no beauty in him that they should desire him. Now put that as a rule against your religion. put that rule against your religion. It's a simple mark, my friends, but a blessed mark in your favour. You know, one of the most clearest, and yet I was going to say one of the most simplest evidences of grace is your soul's need of Christ. It's not the gift, it is not the accumulation of this or that. My friends, it's a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I've never found a child of God who's boasted of his lot, that is, a lot in possession of spiritual things. You won't find one. My friends, I'll complain of their little, but they'll bless God for their little. I said this morning, it is only as the Holy Spirit is pleased to reveal Christ to your soul that you'll ever know anything of Christ. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Well, we tried this morning to speak of one or two things which are good. We spoke of that precious blood. Oh, how good that blood is. How needy is that blood? How dependent are you and I? It's a question, not a statement. How dependent are you and I upon that blood? If you depend on it here, you'll bless God for its effect upon your soul. Who will show us any good? This precious fountain. I thought of that lovely hymn that's based on the dying thief experience, and he said, and since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, my friends, and it will very soon, it will lie silent in the grave. But where will you and I be? Well, if you see such a beauty in Christ and such a need of his blood, my friends, you'll be with him. There will be never a disappointed soul in heaven, you know. There will be some remarkable cases in glory, but none will be disappointed. Who will show us any good? This blessed Spirit will. And he will show it to us in our need of it first. It will be revealed by faith as the way of salvation, as the way of peace and pardon. And it will so affect your spirit that you'll pray for it, seek after it, long to possess it, and mourn because you don't. Who will show us any good? Then, my friends, there is so much. We said this morning, if we continued, we'd never exhaust the good that is for the children of grace. Heaven itself is for the children of grace. Who can ever anticipate or even describe the pleasures of heaven? Heaven, as far as I can describe it, and it's not a poor description, because the joy prepared for suffering saints will make amends for all. Now, what is the joy of heaven to the children of grace? Is it not Christ? What would heaven be without Christ? It wouldn't be heaven. The Lord deliver us from supposition, my friends. But heaven is Christ, and Christ is heaven. And that is, as I view heaven, I've said so many, many times, you might get tired of listening to it. But the Lord Jesus describes it in a moment to his dear people, where I am, there ye may be also. And that place is glory, and heaven is Christ. Who will show us any good? You know, a lot of people anticipate heaven with this description and that description. We don't need to go into those things. The employment of the redeemed souls in glory is to praise him for all the mercy that they have known. My friends, there's nothing, you don't need to go into depths and lengths and heights and breadths. of but descriptions, because, my friends, it's poor at least, and poor at most, so. But heaven is where Christ is. Who will show us any good? And there's so much of Christ that is needed to be known, desired to be known. We might mention this as we pass on, my friends. Much is spoken of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how little we seem to know it. But oh, have we ever known it? Have we ever known it? And those who perhaps now in their minds say, well, we've never known it, so we must be lost. My friends, I believe this, that there must be in every living soul a desire to know the love of Christ. You can read of his love, and it might touch the emotion, but that won't be necessary, my friends, if you know a little of the love of Christ in your soul. And I don't say that wrongly. I do believe this, that if you knew the extent, the depth, and the freeness of that love, you know. I believe this, that you couldn't live on this earth. Those dear souls in glory know the fullness of that love. But I believe this, as you and I travel on, it's for to know him and his love in glory far exceeds anything that you know of his love here below. But I believe this will make the love of Christ so attractive when you take a face view of yourself. You know, when by grace you know a little of the love of Christ, you will see the extent, the benefit, and the blessing, and the fullness of it in this respect. Who it is for? Who is it for? My friends, this is where the love of Christ will be so precious. If it was demonstrated and known only by the good the upright and those that in some measure merit it, well, what distress and despair would be the lot of poor sinners. But the love of Christ, which is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally, it is these own which are Christ, the poor sinners in themselves, desolate often, distressed often, cast down often, in the dark often, but nevertheless the love of Christ is known by them at times, and when it is not known, and when the soul is in health, there will be a seeking for it. Two things really, very simply, but describes somewhat of the love of Christ, my friends. And first of all, Calvary. If you want to see mercy, Calvary is the place. But if you want to see love, Calvary is also the place. And the other, my friends, is this. And I'm only saying again what I said before, that those who are in the receipt of this love are those for whom Christ died for at Calvary, and every one of them is a hell-deserving sinner. There will be many that say, who will show us any good? My friends, if he should show you a little of his love, you know, love is seen not only that he came on earth to die for his people, but love is seen in the dying for them. That he came was a demonstration of his love, that he died for them is a demonstration of his love, that he suffered for them, that he shed his holy blood, my friends, is a demonstration of his love. Who will show us any good? These mercies, these blessings. But then we said this morning that I constantly have to say this because I constantly know the need of it. Showing is revelation. So showing is revealing. My friends, these things are known then by revelation. I ought to go on a bit, the time runs away quickly. Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now then, what is the condition? Do you know the Lord's people have a work, a gracious work, working within that brings them into conditions and brings them into places, spots and places where they shall know in time and in their own soul's experience certain needs and certain seasons of experience. I said this morning, my dear friends, when you, if you're in this text, who will show us any good? You have been shown somewhat of what the opposite is. If you seek to know him who was crucified and is now glorified, it's because you know somewhat of your own sinful state, we said, and so it is. None ever came seeking for Christ that they were not needy and poor and desolate and destitute, both in their afflictions and in their souls. Those who knew their sins and mourned over them were come seeking for Jesus. Those who had afflictions that only the Lord Jesus Christ could deal with, they came to Jesus. They were drawn. But we must go on. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. What's the condition of a sinner here? He's in the dark. We had a dear old minister used to preach for us at Hanover. And he lived not a few miles from us. And if he should come to the prayer meetings or to the preaching service to listen, or even when he came to preach, I always used to take him home. One day he asked me how I was. And I had to be honest. I said, I'm in the dark if you want to know. Then he said something strange. He said, do you like it? I said, no, I don't. No, I don't like it. And he said, that's a good mark, that is. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And I thought, well, it was a sweet way of answering the question. Now, the dear soul in this text is in the dark. There's no doubt in my mind that he is. The psalm begins, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. I've said so many times today and other times, my friends, how simple and yet so blessed is the religion of sovereign grace. And it centres upon Jesus Christ and him crucified. As we said so many times, that every blessing and every favour flows to us through him. Now, the psalmist here wants something which will make a blessed effect upon his soul. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now, there is, my friends, first of all, direction by which this dear psalmist came. He looked to the Lord. He looked to the Lord. He didn't look to man for this blessing. He didn't attend to the prophets of old. He didn't call Nathan, for instance, who was a prophet in the days of David. He looked to his God for this light, the light of his countenance, that it might shine upon him. How many times was David in the dark, my friends? Well, it's too many to count. How many times have you been in spiritual darkness? And you've known this, if only the Lord should return and smile upon you, the light of his countenance would make all the difference to your soul's experience in the dark. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. I want to find a word in the Psalms which may grant us a little understanding. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now, the dear psalmist wanted then the light of his countenance. What do we understand by the light of his countenance? What is it in the countenance of Jesus Christ that is light and that is needed upon us? Remember, dear friends, his condition evidently was some darkness of spirit. When you look at a person in the face, you understand somewhat of their approach and somewhat of their view of you. You know, my friends, the face reveals many things. The countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals many things. What does he look? How does he look upon his dear people? This is one of those dear souls that needed him to look upon them. Look upon them where they were. You will notice in real religion, you will notice in the experiences of the Lord's people, where they look for and what they desire are indications of what they trust in and believe in and know. My friends, the tendency in false religion is the sinner goes to God. The blessings of sovereign grace is that a gracious God goes to a sinner. The first work, my friends, is God's work. Oh, make no mistake about it. And so the cry, the prayer, the desire is, the Lord shall lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now, my friends, the Lord can do one of two things, and I say that in great reverence. This dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will be the judge at the judgment day. Now his countenance will be upon those who are before that throne. And you will know by the countenance what the decree shall be. My friends, to the wicked it must be an eternal frown. But what to the righteous? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. What is it that you desire to see in the countenance of Jesus Christ now? That will bring light to your soul, the light of thy countenance. There's no darkness, my friends, that is too dark for the light of his countenance to penetrate. The poet says, and I don't know where it is, but I believe it's something like this, one smile from him. My friends, what's found in a smile? And let us keep to the word, not humanity, because it can be false in humanity. But look at the smile of Christ. Look at the smile, my friends, there's approbation. There's love. My friends, there's union. There's communion. There's everything in that blessed countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It was said of Christ in prophecy that his visage was more marred than any man. But my friends, here was a dear psalmist that wanted to see the Lord's face. Because in seeing the Lord's face, he has his favour, he has his smile, he has his approbation, he has his presence, and the darkness will flee away. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Because in that countenance there's salvation and there's mercy. I do remember once, I trust I can say this in all absolute honesty and I hope humility, that I did have a view of this blessed face of Christ. In a most unusual place, I was driving. But you know, it wasn't just his face, it was his countenance. And it was this. I believe I can truly say before the Lord, I was brought to see the crown of thorns that laid upon his holy brow. Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. You know, as I said, my friends, that judgment day, you'll see the countenance of Jesus Christ, and it will be seen in the decrees that he shall make. What will those that see him at the judgment day behold in his countenance when he says, "Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world"? What a blessed view that will be then, won't it? My friends, if you've seen him, and it's only brief, as it were, that you have any view of the countenance of Jesus Christ, my friends, what will it be? It will be heaven in his face. Oh, those sweet seasons of blessing that you've known will be but brief moments, as in eternal blessing we will see him. And then it comes back like the poet said, "There shall we see his face and never, never sin, and from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in." Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. He only looks upon his people in mercy. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not withstanding all. My friends, that is the mercy. There's love in his look, and there's mercy in his countenance. Blessed people that see the light of his countenance. Blessed people that know the effect of his countenance. You know, my friends, what compassion, what mercy is in Christ to his people. What evidence is, my friends, of his blessed sacrifice for their sins? There be many that say, "Who will show us any good?" I thought, you know, even in, I hope you'll forgive this, but men tend to look to men for that which is good. Governments are elected to do good, they would say. And so one government succeeds another, and so on. Men are raised up in places of responsibility in the land, and they are there to do good. They're not there to do evil. But how often is it the otherwise, that there is nothing good that is done? But my friends, there is that which is good done by the Lord, and was done by the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Those views that you desire to see of him, my friends, you will see them if by divine faith in exercise you are brought there. And those views will be the gladness of your heart. And there will be joy, and darkness will flee away. This is the blessing I feel in the text to those dear people that pray for such a blessing. My friends, how can darkness and Christ dwell together? And how can a soul that has a view of the countenance of Christ and the effect of the countenance of Christ, well, do you not sometimes pray that the Son of Righteousness might arise with healing in his wings? If you've had a long night, you know, and a sleepless night, how you long for the dawn to break, how you long for the sight of the sun rising once more in its orbit. And the effect of it brings light upon the world, and it shines and it shows everything in its beauty. My friends, it's a very poor example to the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his people. She was travelling in a dark road. Oh, we know what it is, don't we, to travel in a dark road without a light. Well, you can't see the way. You stumble along and you hope you can eventually get accustomed to the darkness. so that you make no mistake. My friends, how is it with you and your spiritual pathway? Is it always dark? Is there not some light shine? My friends, when the Lord shines upon your path, the light of his countenance is upon your path, then you can see the way, then you can go on. And then indeed you can take comfort and courage and continue in the way that is set before you. And then what of the pathway of trial? What about these dispensations in which it pleases your God to put you in? The day of adversity, the time of distress, the cross-handed providences. And Satan will say, and your old nature will agree, well, that it's a mark against you. It's a mark against you. You know, when Paul and Silas was in prison, and it evidently it wasn't near the door. I believe they were thrust into the inner prison. We don't read of the Lord's presence so much as the effect of it. I find it, yes, in the 16th of the Acts. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Wasn't midnight to their soul, was it? Could not have been so. My friends, mark the word. Oh, it doesn't say Christ was there, but it doesn't say Christ wasn't there. You can't put into the word that's not there, but my friends, consider the state they were in, the place they were in, the tribulations they were in, the persecutions they were in. Was it a place to sing praises at midnight? My friends, no, not under natural circumstances, but these aren't natural circumstances. This is the persecution of the way of every child of God, thrust into prison in the dark, and they sang praises. My friends, without multiplying words on the subject, how the Lord's countenance would have shone upon them in that place. Well, you've got some dark places that the Lord has appointed for you to walk. You've got a path of affliction set before you. You've got a trial. You've got a cross-handed providence. My friends, it's all dark when Jesus is not there. But when he is there, and he's pleased to come in the midst of tribulation and shine on the path, my friends, the path is right. And the blessing is yours. The comfort, well, you say it didn't alter the trial. I believe this, you know, though it didn't take the trial away, it made the trial bearable. In thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure, in thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And prison walls won't hinder the light of his countenance. The dear apostle was in prison in Rome, and he called and he said of it that it was for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. But is it always in tribulation that you would see it? You would indeed in tribulation. But are there not other times when your prayer would be found in this sixth verse? And you turn into the Lord's house. You know, one of the things which a child of God often prays against is formality. The very formality of worship, you've all learned it. Coming together around the Word of God, it's Sunday or it's Wednesday night or whatever day it happens to be. How we fear being found in an act of worship which is only formality. You know, when it comes to my mind when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, and it is descriptive of Christ, that angel, very descriptive of the Son of God. You know what his wrestling brought him to? It brought him to this, you know. The angel said, let me go for the breaking of the day. But he said, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. I wish I could come to chapel like that, and I wish I could go to the throne of grace like that. I wish that was in many a heart, as mine included. My friends, that there might be that true exercise of grace in the soul, that the Lord should make us prevailing Jacobs. I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. When we're in his house, around his holy word, separated at least bodily from the world outside, my friends, what a blessed season that is to the soul. You know, I probably said this before, I know a little chapel now, it may still be open, but there used to be about two people went there. I met one of the Lord's servants on the way there, and I said, how many do you expect to be there? And he said, three. And I knew he meant who the third person was, because I knew there was only two human beings that were likely to be there. My friends, the light of his countenance, the presence of the Lord, and the smile on his face. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance. What joy it brings. How can darkness stand? How can Satan distress your soul when you know the countenance of Christ? And the light of it, my friends, not the darkness of it. He frowns on sinners. He frowns on sinners, and it's eternally that he'll frown upon those who are consigned to the pit. But the smile of Christ, that blessed smile that comes from a heart of love and smiles upon his people's pathway. Sometimes your pathway doesn't get altered. You're still in the tribulation, my friends, but if you have Christ in the pathway, therefore it must be a right pathway. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation, but he never promised, my friends, that it will be a pathway without tribulation. In me ye shall have peace, we read. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Very, very seldom do we read of the Lord Jesus Christ rejoicing. Very seldom. We read of his prayers, his supplications. We read of his adversities, and also his manner in which he spoke against false religion. Very seldom do you read, my friends, of the Lord's comfortable smile upon anything when he was here on earth. But there was occasions when he rejoiced in spirit. In the 10th chapter of Luke, we read, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ rejoice over? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He sent them forth two and two into every city and place whither he himself would come. My friends, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit on the preaching of the word, and the Lord Jesus Christ rejoiced in spirit. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us, and the darkness then will flee away. And too, it will bring that sweet sense of union with Christ, communion with Christ. I feel we must end here because of the table of the Lord before us. But is that not a place? Those who have walked in the ordinances of the Lord's house, what was it that you wanted above all things else? And that desire is still with us as we monthly sit at this table. What is it that we want? He has said, do this in remembrance of me. There are two great sacred ordinances in the Church of Christ. My friends, is it not this, the light of his countenance? I said in prayer, I feel it much, my friends, that there's no one ever to be blessed with a sense of worthiness to be there. Rather, they feel unworthy of such a high privilege. But oh, when we meet around this table, well, and I don't want to say this loosely, my friends, because it can be and it must be the desire for the Lord's people wherever they are found, but round his table at his ordinance, the smile of his the light of his countenance. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Amen.
The notices this week are as follows. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and our pastor will preach next Lord's Day. The amount collected from the building fund box at the door for the month of August was £130. Let us sing hymn 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. No good in creatures can be found, but may be found in thee. I must have all things and abound, while God is God to me. Hymn 247.
Thank you.
Lord, we have but one desire. Do fulfill what we have read. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lord, touch the cold heart, the hard heart. Lord, touch the cast down. Touch those that are in darkness. Lord, renew them, revive them by that blessing, the light of thy countenance. Forgive and pardon what has been said amiss in the preaching this day. Meet now with us at thy table. Make one in our midst. Bless us together with thy presence, Lord, and do us good there. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us, both now and forever. Amen.